Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I want to tell you today that life goes better with God. It really does. I'm an example of someone who has tried in their own efforts and works to do things, and it's flopped. And boy, when I turn to God, He is right there to guide me. And that's what our verse today is. Psalm 25, verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And you can go online to freedomstreet.org and listen to the radio programs, or you can donate. I just had a dear friend tell me she hadn't donated online before, and she says, oh, it is so easy. You just go to freedomstreet.org and click on that donate button and fill it in, and it's done. The only thing, and I do pray over you as I receive your online giving. I do. I pray for you. But when I get a little note in the envelope that is going through the post office, I really get to pray for you, and especially if you have prayer requests or praise reports. Oh, I enjoy those so much. So whatever you choose is the right way, and I thank you so much for giving to Call to Freedom. We also have a new cover color on our power packs, and we have the spiral bound power packs now in stock. So if you go to the resource section of the website, you can find them. The acrylic binder power packs are $15, and the power pack in the cassette case is $10. So the part of that $10 is just from me having to work to put the power packs into the cassette case. And you understand that these are old cassette cases. Not old. These are not old, but the cassette cases have been here for many years. So we have to go in with pliers and snip off those little things that used to keep the cassette cases in check. And Kimberly and I were doing that. Oh, and God bless you, Kimberly, for doing some of this stuff.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you in it. We're in this together.
Yes, we are. And so for that, So if you want a acrylic binder power pack, it's $15. And if you want a power pack in the cassette case, it's $10. And I want to just give you a little bit of the memory verse today from Isaiah 26:3. If you are a King James Version person, you will remember it or read it as, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And I love immersing myself in all kinds of translations. So I'm going to read that again from the New American Standard, Isaiah 26, verse 3. And I hope you have some translations around you so you can look from one translation to another. And it gives you a little bit more clarity. And also you get more into the common vernacular of the day. And I appreciate the these and thous. I read them all the time. But some of the younger Christians enjoy the you. For instance, in the New American Standard, Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you." And I capitalize. In fact, the New American Standard does capitalize all the pronouns referring to God, which I really appreciate. So if you will meditate on that scripture this week, the steadfast mind, God will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in God. Oh, that's wonderful. And from Rick Renner, Confession for today. I confess that I walk in the agape love of God. I am patient with other people. I am also very slow to anger or to get upset. This is some things that maybe we are in transition over. I am, of course, slow to anger or to get upset. I'm glad Rick is through that because I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And he goes on to say, I am so concerned about the welfare of others that one of my chief priorities in life is to become everything I need to be to meet their needs. Other people see me as a friend who wants to help them succeed. Although God has given me my own dreams and desires, I never neglect to help others achieve their dreams and aspirations as well, because high-level love works in me, and I am becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And last week, Kimberly taught us that even if you go to the greatest extent of burning your body and have not love, you've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. And I want you to know, Kimberly, that a lot of this, what Rick was talking about, you have come to the place in your life where you are slow to anger, of getting upset. You're concerned more about the welfare of others than your own life. And I appreciate that so much. You're learning that at a young age. Praise the Lord.
It's the only way to walk through life.
It is.
With Him. And we were enjoying Isaiah 30 so much this morning. I'm just going to start at the beginning of Isaiah 30 here. It says, this is what God says. Woe to the rebellious children who carry out their own plans but not mine, and who sign treaties without consulting my spirit. And I just want to pause there for a moment, because it starts out with a woe. Woe to you children. It starts out with something that sounds like God is harsh. Wow, he really wants us to be obeying Him. And then we see Him with a rod in His hand, you know, or we see Him as ready to strike us if we're not following Him. But let's just real quickly jump over, and we're going to, I'm just touching on it right now, because we'll spend more time on it later. But let's look, take a peek at verse 15 in Isaiah 30. And the Lord is saying, come back to me. By returning and resting in me, you will be saved. In quietness and trust, you will be made strong. That's where your strength is. Mm-hmm. But you refused. Okay, this is God talking, and He's talking about His people who refuse to return to Him and just rest and be saved. And feel that quietness, that peace, that trust that comes by being fully aligned with Him. You know, the patience that comes, it comes by being filled with His love. Love is patient. Yes. Love is kind. And that's where our strength is. As His people, our strength is in trusting Him so much that His ways are better than our ways. And so starting out in Isaiah 30, when He's saying, woe to the rebellious children who carry out their own plans but not mine, those are the ones who are not trusting His ways, are better than their own.
Yes, absolutely. Now, who sign treaties without consulting my spirit, these can be contracts. And so many times in this life, the salesman wants you to sign that contract really quickly. And if you say, I need to sleep on it, oh, they just go into a
high pressure.
Yeah,
they go into high pressure
mode. That's right. And so we've got to say that, friends. We've got to say, I've got to talk to God first before I sign this contract that is going to probably get me into not only debt, for instance, a house or a car, but also other things that are implied in that contract.
Mm-hmm. This first verse, God is really reminding us that we are His vessels. We were created to be filled by Him, by Himself, Himself. All of His energy, His life, His provision, His love, everything that is satisfying and fulfilling to us is found in Him, yes, and Him alone. We were created to be those vessels who would carry around the strength, the goodness, the energy of God. Mm-hmm. That's what we're created for. If you're wondering today why you were created and what you're doing in this life, return. Come to that verse 15, return. Return back to the one who created you for that very purpose, for himself to be in you. You were created to be his best friend. Mm-hmm. Return to that thought. And I think maybe most of us have a problem with the way God is wanting us to be all his. Come to me and follow my ways, not your own ways. The reason why we have a problem is because we weren't raised around the best people, because people are flawed. And so sometimes our parents have given us some bad examples, or our teachers have given us bad examples. Mm-hmm. Whoever it might be, they don't give us great examples of leadership. So we don't trust the leadership of God. Yes. Because of that.
That's right.
But he's the very best leader, has all of our best in mind. And he loves the things that we love too. He's just asking us to put him first and let him fill every corner of our life with himself, with his presence and his energy, with his grace. You know, that tangible charis grace that actually gives human beings a godlike quality because we're so full of him.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what he's asking for in this very first verse. You know, don't try to go ahead in life without consulting me. Consult my spirit. Listen to me. And verse 2 says, you travel down to Egypt to find help. Okay, well, where do we look for help? You know, often when we've got problems in our home, we're making phone calls one place and another, and we're trying to find help, usually in the world system. And God does not think that's bad or that's wrong. He's not going to punish us for that.
He's
with us in that's that, right. And he just wants to guide us to the right places. You know those phone calls that we make trying to find the answer, this Egypt that's being talked about in verse 2 here? Those phone calls are just going to lead us round and round in loops.
Yes.
If he's not with us in it.
Yes.
And he will guide us to the perfect places, the perfect people, the way to find help. He will guide us to the help.
Mm, amen.
So without being guided by the words of my mouth, says the Lord, that's what you're doing. You're trying to find help without being guided by me. So instead, you're putting your trust in Pharaoh's protection and seeking shelter in the shadow of Egypt. That's any place on this planet. That's any business. That's any doctor. That's any other source than God. Mm-hmm. Is what Egypt is to us as we read this. So therefore, Pharaoh's protection will become your shame. It's going to run out. You know what? All the world systems do not have enough capabilities to stay rock solid and to continue to provide for us. You have been on a phone system, archaic phone system. I'm calling it archaic because you signed up for this 30 years ago.
Yes.
And no one has come along to tell you we've got something better for you here.
That's right.
So now we're trying to sift through and sort through all of these stations, these people, these companies, and it's led from one to the next to the next. These old lines need to be updated. If we keep leaning on people in the world to help us figure this out,
we are going to be out of date.
We will come to a dead end. It'll end in disaster. Yes. But God, I love how he prophesies these things to us. Really, he's just giving us a heads up. You know, I'm your father here, he's saying. I'm your father, and I don't want you to run into these things by yourself without my help.
That's right.
I want to be there with you, and I want you to walk through this with my help. So I want to go ahead and look forward now in Isaiah 30, verse 8. God told me to write down in a book words meant for the coming generation as an eternal witness, for his children are stubborn. They're rebels. They're always telling lies and they refuse to listen to his instructions. But here he is. Here's Isaiah writing it down. They say to the seers, stop seeing your visions. And they say to the prophets, please stop prophesying to us what is right. prophesy only the pleasant things to us and leave this narrow way, turn aside from this harsh path. So see, here's the world's perspective that God's path is a harsh path. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what some of us can end up thinking, that God's ways are stiff and harsh and archaic.
Mm-hmm. They're old.
But he is relevant and he is with us today. And we want to embrace his ways. Let's go to verse 15. We'll spend a little more time here. Because our Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, "Come back to me. By returning and resting in me, you will be saved. In quietness and trust, you will be made strong." Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go any further than that right now. Coming back to him, I love this season right now. Last Friday was the Rosh Hashanah celebration of the new year for the Jewish people. I love the whole concept of Rosh Hashanah because it is a returning to God. It's not the same way that we look at a festival at the New Year's, and our culture tends to make these New Year's resolutions and we think, okay, I'm going to be better this year. And then we try it in our own works, in our own strength. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to find the right diet. We try to find the right workout. We try to find the right person to spend life with. We sign up online for these places that will make connections for you, you know, and we try in our own efforts, but we're not really returning to God because that somehow that's not palatable to us. Somehow we think that's going back to something old. I'm just praying that we will all understand God is so fresh. He is right now. He is relevant. He is relatable. He is with us. And we want to return to him. That's what we really desire. He has got some surprises for us, surprises in store for us. And that's what he's asking us to do. Just come return to me and I will surprise you with the kind of rest, the kind of peace, the kind of joy and comfort that you've been looking for. I'll surprise you with all of that. You will be saved. You will have that salvation in me, which is complete. It's a completeness.
Yes.
It's a perfection in him. So it's in that rest, in that quietness, in that trust and peace that we can find our strength and who we really are. That's what we all want. We want to know who we really are in him. Mm-hmm. So again, God is recognizing that we refuse that. We just want to try it our own way. And though you boast, no, we've got other resources. We have other ways we can flee to and look to. That's what we're saying to him in verse 16. No, I don't think I really want to join you. And, you know, the more I read Song of Songs, she's saying the same thing. The king is inviting her. That king is inviting the Shulamite to come with him. Come with me. I want to show you the mountain heights. And she's saying, you know what? I'm kind of afraid of heights right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to do that. I've got some other places in the city I want to explore.
Yes.
And so she doesn't go with him. But then she finds, wait, what I'm really hungering for is not in the city. I have gone in circles in the city here, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Yes. Oh,
so being able to find what we're looking for in the one who made us, because we're made for him, that's what we want. Oh, I love verse 18. This is just getting better and better. Verse 18 of Isaiah 30 says, "For this reason, the Lord is still waiting to show his favor to you." He's so patient. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mind waiting on us.
And what does he want to show us? Goes on to say he will show you his marvelous love, not power, not grand things going on, not explosions, not victories, not might, but his love is going to take us to all those places.
His love will.
Yes, his love will.
Yes, the love, his love is full. It's the fullest. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so God is waiting. He's so patient to wait. The whole idea of waiting on the Lord, we're taught to do that. We've memorized verses. Those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. You know, that's in Isaiah also. We've been taught these verses. We've memorized how to wait on the Lord. But I said how. We've memorized the idea of waiting on the Lord. Mm-hmm. But how do we really do that?
Yes. And some people, Kimberly, they think, I've waited long enough. Well, how long has the Lord waited for you? If we look at his perspective, the Lord has waited far longer for each and every one of us.
That's right. That's right.
And so we can wait a little bit longer.
That's
just
right.
A little bit longer.
We don't want to grow impatient. You know, sometimes impatience comes at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And we've got to be able to make the choice for love, because love is patient. And we want to choose love so completely that we will stay patient, even when we want to lose our patience. I was watching a father with his son. I went for a walk, and this son has a tendency to run. And he takes off running without shoes on. I mean, he just leaves. He goes blocks away, and the parents have to run him down. So I understand that that would be frustrating for a parent, mm-hmm. and that you could grow impatient with that. So I'm watching this father and realizing, oh, God, I'm going to stand here and pray that your love will bring patience to this situation, because mm-hmm. how do you stay patient with a child that just keeps running? Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting older and they still keep running. This child is eventually going to be old enough to outrun his father.
That's,
you know,
right. Absolutely.
But we don't want impatience to come in and ruin the fruit of love. Mm-hmm. We want to cling to patience, and that is a choice. We have to choose it. Our emotions don't know how to choose. Sometimes they flare up, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's when we want to, in the flare up, we want to give it to God and say, you're the only one who can truly teach me patience, waiting on this. And he waits. God waits to be gracious to you. He sits on his throne and ready to show mercy to you. For God is the Lord of justice, faithful to keep his promises. He's overwhelmed with bliss are all who will entwine their hearts in him, waiting for him to help.
Waiting for him, yes, absolutely.
So this is a relationship of waiting.
It is.
And the idea of waiting is truly binding your heart, twisting yourself like a rope to him, so that you're so entwined with him, people can't tell the difference between you and him. Mm. That's the kind of vessels we were created to be. Full, so full of his love and his power, so full of his energy and his life, that people can't tell the difference.
Yes.
And that is the compassion that God has toward us, that kind of love and patience and compassion. It is so kind, so willing to wait. May we find ourselves willing to wait with him, yes. and see the very best come to pass. Now, we're going to end up in places where we have to cry out for help. And in verse 19, it says, God hears your cries for help, and he will answer you when he hears your voice. In verse 20, I like this one a lot. Even though the Lord may allow you to go through a season of hardship and difficulty, he himself will be there with you, and he will not hide himself from you. Mm-hmm. For your eyes will constantly see him as your teacher.
Sometimes our cries for help, Kimberly, are apart from God. And we go into a corner and we're screaming and we're hollering and we're crying. It's unfair. It's unfair. The whole system is unfair. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And we get alone and isolated. That is not going to help the situation at all. Mm-hmm. We need to run to God, run to him, and tell him. He says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't even know now, mm-hmm. but I will reveal them to you.
Yes.
He's such a wonderful God.
Yes, and I know that can be hard to try to find your way to him without a human example. So when you find kind people, patient people, spend some time with them. Mm-hmm. Spend time around the patient ones, because that's where you will find some of God's character.
Yes.
And we want to hook into that. This idea of God being our teacher, the Hebrew word for that is moreh. Moreh is a homonym for rain. So you can actually picture God being a teacher that brings rain, the rain of truth, the rain of His Spirit, that rain that refreshes, that falls on us and renews our spirits. That is how God teaches our hearts, is through a refreshing, mm-hmm. not just through rods, through belts, through, you know, whippings. That's not God. That's not God.
Yes. Yes.
That's not His example at all. His example is love and patience and refreshing and renewing our spirits. He is the rain that makes us whole. I was singing a song this morning earlier that He is the rain that makes us whole. And I like to also think of Him as the R-E-I-G-N, rain, mm-hmm. because He's ruler. And the way that He rules in our lives makes us whole.
That's right. It does.
His ways in our life, we want to embrace His ways. We want to finally get to the end of ours mm-hmm. and give them up and say, you know what? I've been around this mountain too many times.
That's right.
And I need Your ways in my life, God.
Yes.
Giving them up and coming to Him, His reign makes us whole.
Amen. I believe that's why Darren in 1991, I remember driving down I-25 and he says, Barbara, what do you think about a name, Fire and Rain? And immediately it just touched my heart. The fire of Holy Spirit makes us reign as kings and priests on this earth through Jesus Christ. Mm. So that's what Fire and Rain is. If you have ever wondered why we named it Fire and Rain, that's what it is. The fire of Holy Spirit will help you, friend, to reign on this earth as a king and a priest through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's good. So we are running out of time for today, but we're going to come back to this subject tomorrow because
yes.
that rain that God wants to give us to refresh us is so full of joy. There's joy in it. And I want to talk a little bit about how He surprises us with joy. And He does that a lot. Sometimes we're so surprised and thrilled by the joy that He brings to us that we try to recreate that joy. And in trying to recreate it, then we're in a pleasure loop.
Yes.
Sometimes that can become an addiction. Sometimes
yes.
that just gets us all caught. So I want to talk about that tomorrow some more, because God is the true joy of our life. And we want to continue to search for Him with all of our hearts.
And that's why we say at the end of this program every day,
Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.